Susan Frank talks to the animals and you. It's Wild About Pets on TalkZone.com.
Welcome back to the show. I'm talking to Pam Johnson Bennett, cat behavior expert and author of Think Like a Cat, How to Raise a Well-Adjusted Cat, Not a Sour Puss. We have a call on the line that's going to be asking about multi-cat homes. And Pam, you have a book called Cat Versus Cat. We're looking at picture number 19. It shows a photo of it, and I love this for the picture of the two cats. So, Ellen, are you still on the line?
And yes, you can, I am.
Great. Go ahead with your question for Pam, Ellen.
Okay. Well, I have a two-cat household, and I have the eldest is a male ginger tabby neutered, and he was here first, and then we got, and he had a history of never being too friendly to other cats. He was a street rescue kitty, and he was very aggressive when he first came here, and that calmed down. But the latest part of our household is a young female, and he was friendly to her than more than any other cat, but the first time she jumped on like the big bed that he was on, he leaped on her very aggressively, bit the back of her neck hard. She went tearing off. He like established that that was his bed, not hers, and they divided the house up between them, and she follows those rules, but he doesn't, of course. He everything is his space, and only certain designated areas are hers. And he punishes her whenever she breaks the rule. But when he breaks his rules, she's very angry. And there's like a political issue in the house that we humans seem to be helpless to stop.
Oh, I know. And it's very stressful. I appreciate how frustrating that is. Cats do kind of set aside little territories within your house. You know, it might be that someone gets the chair in the sun during the day but doesn't care about it at night, and someone else claims the owner's bed. Others do resource guarding at the food bowl or the litter box. But when you see that they're just not forming a friendship and they're not coming to terms with, okay, we're both going to live here, we're going to have to get along, the best thing to do is to just start over again. Just separate them and reintroduce them as if they've never met. And the key in the reintroduction is to give them a reason to like each other. So they only see each other on a far side, one's on one side, one's on the other. They get absolutely delicious, irresistible piece of food. It can be a portion of their meal or it can be a treat. They get only those things when they're in the presence of each other, and then they get separated again. And you gradually increase the time that you're spending together and decrease the space between the cats, but you do it very gradually. And so he'll see that he only gets good things when she's around.
Okay.
Okay. Wow, that sounds complex.
It's really not, when you think about what you're doing right now. Right now you're on guard. You have to watch. Where is he? Where is she? He bites her. She goes off. You have to deal with damage control. Whereas if you just separate them and just have them be together for a few minutes each day, you do maybe 10 sessions where they're together for very brief periods, and they gradually start to see, okay, maybe you're not the devil. Maybe you're okay. And then they go from hatred to strong dislike to neutral. And then once you're at neutral, you're in good shape.
That's helpful, although they have reached a detente about who's in which room and whose bed is whose. She follows the rules, but he doesn't. And he demands every so often he'll present his head for her to lick, which she used to do in the beginning. She liked him, and now she's, like, generally pissed at him, so she won't.
Well, and that's understandable because she doesn't trust him anymore. You know, if I was friendly to you and then you started bopping me on the nose, pretty soon I'm not going to come up to you anymore without being very defensive. So that's where you have to change that. And I would let her have more of the run of the house and separate him. Don't give him the prime areas of the house. Let him, because otherwise he sees that, oh, I've chased her off. She's stuck in one room. So if you separate him, then he starts to see, okay, she's going to live here. I better start to make the best of it. And reward him for any display of non-aggression or anything that's not negative. For example, have treats in your pocket, or even if you just use praise or petting, when he walks by her and doesn't hiss or swat or growl, reward him. If he's staring at her and he breaks a stare, reward him. Let him see that there's a benefit to being nice.
Oh, great answers. Thank you for your call, Ellen.
Thank you. Our phone
lines are open. It's October 28th. You can call 888-463-6748 or email me at susan@wildaboutpets.net to ask Pam Johnson Bennett a question about your cat's behavior. So, Pam, just like we understand with dogs, if we could only read what they're trying to communicate, cats are always communicating to us with their body language and with their vocalizations. What is it that we really should be paying attention to sometimes that way maybe we are not? And we're looking at picture number 10 also right now.
And that cat's really saying something.
Yes, take us through. We've got a cat, for those people who aren't looking at this right now. Looks like it's on a scratching post. Its ears are back. Its mouth is open. It looks like a bit of a snarl. So normally you'd think this cat would be happy on this scratching post, but what is this cat telling us? Let's say if I had just been petting it.
Right. And also he's leaning away from whatever it is he's looking at. So he is clearly saying, I don't want you to come any closer, and if you do, I'll scratch you. Basically, body language comes down to distance increasing or distance decreasing. So basically, the cat's saying either it's okay to come close or back off. And many times, we don't give the cat a choice, and we don't give them warning time that we are approaching or what we want. So, you know, we'll sneak up behind the cat to pick him up and shove him in the carrier, or the cat is clearly giving a sign that he wants to be alone, but we just feel like, well, I'm a cat lover. You've got to love me. Let me go pet you. So if you give your cat a choice and pay attention to his body language, you can really avoid a lot of the injury that happens. You know, cats, there's a lot about the body language, but you also have to take into consideration the environment. You know, like this cat's pupils are dilated. He's clearly reactive. But a cat in a relaxed posture might have dilated pupils because the room is dark. But everything about this cat where, for those of you who aren't seeing the picture, he's reclining on the top of the scratching post, but he's leaning back so that his weight is on his right side, so that if you came closer, he could easily lift his left front paw and box you. So that lets you know that he's gearing up to attack. Coming closer to this cat will result in injury.
There's the typical joke about cats, and there was even a Garfield cartoon about it, where you're petting the cat, it's purring, it's happy, 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 and all of a sudden, whomp, it bites you. And this, you know, idea that cats are so unpredictable and schizophrenic. But isn't it true, Pam, that probably there were some signals that the person petting missed, and what would those signals maybe have been?
Right. Cats are masters of communication. Masters. I mean, we're a verbal chat little species, and cats use scent and body language and vocalization, and they clearly give a lot of signals. It's just we don't pay attention. So the typical scenario is the cat's on your lap, he's enjoying being petted, and you're watching TV or maybe you're checking your email on the computer, so you're not really paying attention. So you're petting and petting and petting. Well, he might be reaching a point where it is no longer comfortable, and maybe he's getting too stimulated, or maybe that spot is just not feeling good anymore. He might lash his tail. His skin might be twitching. He might stop purring. He might turn around and look at you. His ears might flick back. He's giving you a lot of signals that in the cat world are making a lot of sense, where he's saying, I really don't like this anymore. I really, really don't like this anymore. Till finally, you're not getting any of those messages. So he either turns around and bites you, or if you're lucky, he doesn't bite, he just jumps off. But it's surprising to us because we think, oh, that just came out of nowhere. But it really didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to know, if you have a cat who does exhibit what this is called petting-induced aggression, know what his limit is. So if you can pet him for 5 minutes before he starts getting agitated, pet him for 3. Always leave him wanting more.
Oh, okay. I like that.
If you leave him wanting more, he'll want to come back.
Okay. My cat, Willie, unfortunately, had gotten a bad nickname, Killer Cat. Now, you know, Willie, of course, had never had a natural mother. I was it, and I once read, Pam, that cats that are not raised by natural mothers can be more unpredictable. And so Willie was very afraid of being pet on the head. There had been an incident when he was a baby where someone didn't know cats and kind of started choking him when he was coming right close to his head. I have a picture number 10 that shows Willie Willie loved to butt his head and rub his face against men's chins. I think it must have felt great. But he did that to someone who didn't understand cats when Willie was just a baby. And after that, you really couldn't touch Willie on his head unless you knew him. And I would tell people that they would come into the house. Willie was very friendly. He'd come right up to him, but you couldn't touch him on his head. And people would say, no, 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 he's fine. And I'd be watching the skin moving, as you said, and the tail start to go. And I'd say, really, you don't want to do that. And they say, no, 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 I'm fine. And then they'd get bit. I'd feel terrible, and then they called my cat the killer cat.
Right, and the thing is, cat lovers are sometimes the worst offenders, because they
yes.
can't imagine that, no, he'll, and also, we tend to think what our cats like, other cats will like, and cats can have very specific petting preferences, whether it's just where they like it on their body, or whether something happened, like in the case of Willie, the head was clearly a hands-off place, and not only by this person saying, no, it's okay, let me pet him, not only did that person, you know, get bitten, but then it sets Willie back in the trust department.
Ah, okay. So here's another big issue to talk about to help get into an animal's head and what to do about it. I know a lot of shelters, and you're more familiar with this than I am, Pam, have gotten cats that were given up to them because of behavior problems. And I think a lot of times the behavior problems had to do with cats who were bored, who were depressed, who were not mentally or physically stimulated. And I see this as being one of the biggest things. And I think people have the perception, oh, my cat's not like a dog. It's self-sufficient. It just needs its food, a little scratch. And I throw a toy at it, and it does fine by itself. What is wrong in this thinking, Pam?
Oh, it's heartbreaking. And it's a subject that is so near and dear to my heart. When you look at a cat, the cat's sensory ability is amazing. I mean, they hear better than us. They see better than us. You know, they smell better than us. Everything about their senses is so heightened. Well, and I know people who know me and have read my books and seen me talk, you know, if they're listening, they're probably so sick of hearing this. But I tell clients that a cat is like a Ferrari. Imagine if you had a Ferrari, a car that was meant to get out on the open road, and you stuck it in the garage and you never drove it. What a shame. What would happen to that car? Well, when we bring cats in the house, we think, well, if I, you know, I don't have time for a cat, you know, I don't have time for pets, so I'll get a cat, you know, if I don't have to walk it like a dog and I don't have to pay attention. Well, what happens is the cat gets bored. Here is this cat who was born to be a hunter with all these senses, who can hear and see and smell, with nothing to do. So they will either start doing something that you won't like, being destructive, or they'll turn it inward and they'll start doing self-destructive behaviors, or maybe they'll become depressed and start to withdraw from the family. So environmental enrichment is so crucial. You know, we bring the cats in, we want them to be safe, we give them food, we give them shelter, we've got water, you know, and hopefully we're taking them to the veterinarian to get their vaccinations, but we don't give them anything to do. And that's really a shame, because if you could watch your cat when he catches a toy, or if there's a spider in the house and he goes after it, look at how beautiful that animal is. Look at what an efficient machine that is. Well, you could be enjoying that on a daily basis by playing with your cat and setting up activities for when you're not at home. I always keep, whenever I get a delivery from UPS, the box gets used as a toy. I cut holes in it, stick food in it and let the cat paw at it. I open paper bags and create tunnels. I make puzzle feeders out of water bottles. My cats have things to do
when you're not home. Now, I know for some of the dogs, there are the treats like the Kong toys that can be filled with something frozen that takes a while for the dog to work at. Is there anything like that for a cat? Because let's say you've got the boxes out, but, you know, an hour goes by and, you know, you're going to be gone for hours and hours. Is there anything that like that that can keep a cat working for a long time?
Sure, you can do the Kong toys. I get the small size that are meant for puppies, mm-hmm. and I fill that with cat food, and I freeze it, or you can choose not to freeze it. You can put cream cheese in there mm-hmm. for the cat to lick. I create the puzzle feeders, like I said, with the water bottles. I cut holes in the little water bottles, and I put dry food in there, so the cat rolls it around, and periodically dry food comes out. I will take a a muffin tin, and I'll put a little bit of canned food in each compartment, and I'll press it down a little bit so that the cat really has to lick to get it. So, and I'll spread these things around the house. There might be a water bottle puzzle feeder in the living room, and there might be a box with a ping pong ball in the bedroom, so that as my cat is walking around the house, she comes across something interesting throughout the day.
Okay, I like that idea. Also, it's important to create an environment that is more in keeping with a cat's nature. You talk about that we live in a horizontal world, but a cat lives in a vertical world. So what should we make sure we have for our cat so that they can enjoy some of that more vertical world?
Well, elevation. The more vertical territory you create, the more you've increased your cat's territory without having to break down a wall and add on to your house. If you've noticed, if you don't have adequate vertical territory for your cat, you probably find him on the top of the refrigerator or on the top of the bookcase. What I usually say when I'm doing seminars is, if we took all the furniture out of the room and we just had the carpet and we put cats in here, they'd probably go to the far corners. But as soon as you put one chair in the room, they can be closer together because one can be on the chair, one can be next to the chair, you know, or underneath it. So by adding levels, you create an ability for the cats to maintain their ranking. So if one cat who tends to be more of the top cat wants to claim the highest perch, he can do that. Or if a cat who's very frightened feels better if he can be up high so he has more of a visual advantage, he can do that. So cat trees, window perches, you can create cat shelves and stairways. You can put little beds in bookcases. Anything that you do that creates more vertical territory, and keep it high, medium, and low. So you've got the cats who want to be really high. You've got the cats who feel that they kind of want to be in the middle ground. And then you have the cats who really feel more comfortable being on the ground. So in a multi-cat household, having those multiple levels can really help keep peace.
Oh, you know what, Pam? When I'm thinking about most of my friends and family members, there are no things that give that vertical levels. Oh, you know what? I have a gift idea in mind for my sister now.
There you go. And we're so busy spending time telling the cats where they can't go. You can't go on the kitchen cabinet. You can't go on the dining room table. You know, you're not allowed on the bed. You're not allowed on, you know, Aunt Ethel's favorite chair. The cat has no elevated territory. So a cat tree, a multi-leveled cat tree, and it doesn't have to be fancy. It can be the most basic. It just has to be sturdy. And if you have a couple perches, two cats who normally would not sit at the window together on the windowsill, you may find they'll be together because they can kind of maintain that little bit of status because one will be higher than the other one.
Ooh, that could be great for Ellen, who had called in, remember, with her cat territory issues.
Right.
Okay, wonderful. Well, when we come back, we'll be talking a little bit more about what to do when a cat doesn't use his litter box, because that's a huge problem. Stay with us. We'll be back very shortly.